Good morning, St. Paul's of Plato. I am glad to see all of you. Welcome back. Those of you who don't know me, I am Becky Bartholomew from Hutchinson, a seminary student working towards ordainment with the UCC. I am very happy to have been here for a few weeks and join you. And today will be my last one. Pastor Brian will be back next Sunday. Will you please move around, welcome each other, share a sign of peace? As we begin our Sunday together, are there any announcements or joys or concerns that we can share today during our prayer time? Yes.
Well, I do have one announcement here real quick. Those that weren't here last Sunday, we have a card that we're signing for Brenda, our secretary. She retired. So I have the card down by the clipboard where you would sign up to be a reader. That's where it's sitting. There's a pen there. So anybody that wasn't here last week, they would have signed that card. Then we're going to get a present for her also and then give that to her coming up here. So.
Okay. Any others this morning? Okay. Yes. Anything else this morning? All right, will you please pray with me for a second? Lord, thank you for the gift of your Spirit. We know the Spirit is in this place. Help surround us this morning as we worship together and worship you. Be with us as we pray for others. Hear our prayers and know that we are here to hear your word and to do with it as you wish for us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In your bulletin, you will see the call to worship. Will you join me with that? Worship God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. The God of creation does not grow faint or weary. The whole universe is subject to God's power. Creation continues as the universe expands. Sing to God with great thanksgiving. Praise God with the best you have to offer. Please join me in singing hymn 624, His Eye is on the Sparrow.
Thank you.
Please join me for the prayer of invocation printed in your bulletin. Powerful God, before whom we are as nothing, we dare to approach you because you assure us that we are not like mere grasshoppers to you. Our individual potential is not hidden from you, and the faithfulness of your church is important to you. We have gathered with great expectation, seeking to have our strength renewed and our hope restored. Make yourself known among us as we unite in your praise. Amen. And as we gather today, let us pray together the prayer of confession. Who are we to claim equality with you, ruler of all worlds? Yet we try to order you around when it is we who should be taking orders. At times, we act as if we cannot get along without you. In our church, we often pretend that we don't need other congregations. We hoard the gospel as if it were our possession, and thus we do not follow its mandates. We bend your law to our own whims and then excuse our disobedience. Forgive us, God. We are not worthy to carry the name of Christ. Restore us to yourself, we pray. Amen. Lord, we come to you with open hearts and open minds this morning. Help us make decisions pleasing to you. Help us to grow and thrive in our humanity. We thank you for your forgiveness and for your forbearance. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They want God on their side. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interests on your fast day and oppress all your workers. You fast only to quarrel and fight, and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? It is to bow down the head like a bulrush, and to lie in sackcloth and ashes. Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the testimony of God to you with superior speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were made not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are being destroyed. But we speak of God's wisdom, a hidden mystery, which God decreed before the ages for our glory, and which none of the rulers of this age understood. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the human heart even conceived, what God has prepared for those who love Him. God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human knows, what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual beings. But those who are unspiritual do not receive the gift of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Our gospel this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Teaching about salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Here ends our gospel reading. Now, I am curious, if you think about it, how much of your daily life and your belief system have been formed through human influence? I mean, think about it. Do you cook certain meals because that's what you had growing up? Do you live here because others in your family do, or maybe they did before you? Do you run your farm or your business the way that it's always been done by others? Or maybe do you set an alarm to get up every morning for work because someone told you what time you needed to be there? Do you parent the same way your parents and grandparents did? And if you don't, is it because someone else told you more effective parenting strategies? Do you clap with the crowd when an athlete scores a run or makes a basket or gets a touchdown? Do you cheer for the American team during the Olympics? Do you wash your hands before you eat? Do you say please and thank you? When it comes to your faith life, do you believe in Jesus or attend St. Paul's the same because or the same way that people before you did? Do you belong to a certain denomination because your family always has? Or because someone told you about it and you checked it out? So often what we do has been done before us. Because somewhere along the way, people figured out what worked for them, and then they passed on that knowledge. And maybe some of those traditions and customs involved tangible things such as property or land. And recycling what they have done or passing down important possessions becomes tradition, where history and nostalgia blend. Establishing familial, spiritual, even geographical identities. In these established identities, we find comfort. We find comfort in our history, in our traditions, in our cultures handed down. And oh, we creatures, we like our creature comforts, don't we? In fact, we can sometimes go to great lengths to protect and maintain those creature comforts. But this week, I was reading the sermon seeds on the UCC website, which I like to do each week. And Cheryl Lindsay was talking about that idea of comforts, and something struck a chord. She wrote, "Comfort may be tricky. We crave it, but it can cause harm." And this ties to the case in Isaiah 58, which Jim just read for us. It is the third part of Isaiah, a section that largely marks an era of homecoming and reunion in which displaced people, now under Persian rule, get to return to their ancestral lands. After unsettling displacement to Babylon and agonizing years of waiting, those who were exiled after the destruction of Jerusalem got to return to their homeland. Imagine their excitement, resuming their customs and their traditions, returning to what their ancestors knew, resuming their faith and lifestyle in the place they knew deep in their bones and in their souls as home. Except during the 50 to 70 years that they had been displaced from Israel. While they were gone, other people had lived in the area where they were returning to. That many decades passing meant that one generation of families had started calling Israel home. And then their next generation did. And it's possible three, maybe even four generations were established there. Which then leads to the problem. What happens when two factions call the same place home? Now let me back up a little bit. I'm going to provide a little condensed history so that you'll understand a little bit more of what I'm talking about this morning. In Genesis 12, we read that God called Abraham, and he promised him that because of his obedience, his descendants would become a great nation, and that in him all nations of the earth would be blessed. It was a covenant, a relationship built on trust and promise between God and Abraham. And also in Genesis, we read about Abraham's grandson, Jacob, who, by the way, was also called Israel. He was given land, as was the father of Joseph. Poor Joseph, his brothers, who weren't very nice to him, as we know from biblical tales, they threw him in a well, they sold him into slavery. But then later, when he came into a position of power, he turned it around. And he and his 11 brothers founded the 12 tribes of Israel. And they spread out and out and out. And so we have those 12 sons of Jacob, from whom the tribes took their names. Their names were Reuben and Simeon and Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin. And then there were two more of Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who also stayed with this band. So we have these 12 sons plus two who became the 12 tribes of Israel extended. They were primarily located in the land of Canaan, which is roughly equivalent to modern-day Israel and Palestine, if you look on the map. And the tribes were allocated both on land, on both sides of the Jordan River, a water source, which was so important to existence. The land of four of them also surrounded the Sea of Galilee, and each had access to water. A few of them covered the southeast side of the Dead Sea. The majority of them settled on the west side, with their land spreading all the way out to the Mediterranean. Judah and his people had one of the largest parcels of land, plus they had waterfront acreage on both the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea. Now, imagine how their sustenance, through their faith, through their working of the land, through this place they called home, it was all tied together. Their faith existence and their physical existence just merged into one. And with varying terrains to manage, and lives to sustain, they created their own systems and their own customs, and they worship in the ways that they were taught. But humans are human, after all. They had their own minds to think with, their own free wills. They had their own troubles, their own celebrations. The 12 brothers plus the two sons grew their families, and they began living in the manners that best suited each of them. And eventually, as humans with free will do, they made a bit of a mess of things. Fighting, insurgents occurred, and the Jews of Abraham were forced out of their promised land. The northern territory was taken over by the Assyrians, and the southern was taken over by the Babylonians, and that's where today's reading from Isaiah comes in. 70 years they've been pushed out of their homeland. And after that many years of displacement, two of those tribes returned to Jerusalem to rebuild. The others were dispersed, and Israel was sifted among the nations. The land of Abraham had its descendants tending it again. But remember God's promise to Abraham that his descendants would be among many nations, and they would be as numerous as the stars. Through the modern marvels of DNA, and archaeology and some other ologies, descendants of those original tribes are found throughout our world today, especially appearing in Western Europe, Britain, and America. There's that promise to Abraham realized, spreading amongst the nations. But as history and present day tell us, these people of Abraham have not been treated well. Centuries of persecution against them evolved into the Holocaust and in the World War II era. Especially following that time, many of the Jewish people surviving from that Holocaust wanted to return to Israel because the land of Israel holds deep symbolic meaning for them as Jews, as people, as a culture, and as their faith. It's seen as a place where their ancestors originated, where the history unfolded, and where they were meant to live and practice freely. In 1948, Israel established a home territory for the Jewish people, and America supported this, as did other nations coming out of the horribleness of World War II. I grew up learning this history that I've just shared with you. And in my own small way, as a descendant of settlers who homesteaded the land where my family still lives, I understood that history to an extent. I cannot relate completely for sure. But I have a family and a home and earth that has been tilled and toiled over and loved and become part of the fabric of our lives. And because I understood that a little bit, I have always, always been rooting for Israel. My sympathy and my respect for a people so horribly treated has run deep my entire life. It still does. Yet in placing Jewish immigrants in the homeland post-World War II, others who were already there had to be displaced or maybe nudged aside and forced to live together. Gaza, which has become a stronghold of Palestinian nationalism, was equally important to the Palestinians. They didn't want to leave the place of their historical roots either. And a quick Google search, if you go home and do it, will show you how many times the resulting tension between the two has erupted since 1948. Which leads me to modern day's situation between Israel and Palestine. Israel, that nation that I have always held in my heart, those people I've wanted to have freedom to live in the religions and customs so dear to them, they have been at war with Gaza since 2023. This summer, they were starving the people out of Gaza. They were withholding food. They weren't allowing food in as part of their war tactics. They only half-heartedly adhered to the ceasefire throughout the last few months. And just this week, they killed another over 20 people in Gaza with their airstrikes. My heart breaks, and my mind doesn't quite know how to handle it. Because in today's reading of Isaiah 58, we are told to remove the heavy yoke of oppression. We are asked to free those who are wrongly imprisoned, lighten the burden of those who work for us, and let the oppressed go free. We are told to remove the chains that bind people, to share our food with the hungry, and give shelter to the homeless. And in Matthew's reading for today, as we are followers of Jesus, we are charged with those words, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Let your good deeds shine out for all of those to see." And later, if we continue Matthew, we get to chapter 22, verse 39, and Jesus tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. As ourselves, as much care and respect that we have for ourselves, we are asked to extend to everyone else. And it is hard for me to see that translating in areas of inhumane treatment. These are tall orders sometimes, to treat others as we treat ourselves. And honestly, we often get so caught up in the details of who gets what and when and where, so that we throw up our hands and we say, well, what the heck do we do? What's the right thing to do? And oftentimes, as we attempt to do the right thing, we protect what we identify as ours in the process. Isn't that what Israel is doing right now? Trying to protect what they believe is theirs. And wait, isn't that what Gaza's doing also? And if I follow that train of thought, oh my goodness, isn't that what indigenous people throughout the world have been trying to do? And that takes me down a swirling vortex of questions. If my family returned their farmland back to native land, how would they survive? What happens to the family history they had? What feelings, emotions, faith, and spiritual shaking would happen if we had to leave the land that we have called home? Where would we go? Every generation has these battles to fight, whether in action or in thought. And oh, I admit, I don't have any easy answers. And that's where it gets so hard sometimes. The confliction, the rooting for one group of people and then seeing maybe how that group of people I've held so dear isn't necessarily treating others the way I would want them to, the way Jesus would want them to. I don't have any answers. So often, no idea seems like the completely right thing to do, where both parties are involved. And this is when I have to take a deep breath and remind myself that God sent Jesus to teach us and to model for us how God wants us to be, knowing full well that none of us will ever get it completely right. None of us are ever going to be Jesus. We are humans, making constant messes of things. Yet hope comes through the teachings of Christ, and hope comes in our human connection, and it comes in the humanity we can acknowledge and share with each other. So here is what we can do if we are grappling with huge difficulties, or if our consciences won't let something rest, or even if we find ourselves a little bored and tired of our creature comforts. We can keep reading Scripture. We can apply it wherever we can. We can pray that the words of the Bible speak to us on a level that we can understand and apply today. Whenever we can strive to do just a little bit better than we have before. Because all of us humans, we're all in this same storm together. Yep, we are in the same storm on this earth, even if we're not in the same boat. Some of us are in yachts, some of us are paddling canoes. Some of us might even be drowning. And we all have the ability to be kind, to help whoever we can, to remove that heavy yoke of oppression whenever it is in our power to do so, to right the wrongs when we get a chance, to be humble, to ask for grace when we need it, and to let our light shine. And that is my prayer for you, that you leave this place today and you let your light shine so that all the world can know and experience and find comfort in God's great love through us. Will you please join us in singing hymn 644, The Greatest Thing? All take a deep breath. Spirit of this place, be with us in our time of prayer. Open our hearts, open our minds. Let our spirit merge with yours. Lord, as Pastor Brian and Glennis head home from Arizona, please grant them with safe travels. We pray that they have had the respite and rest that they need. And Lord, I ask that you keep granting rest and rejuvenation for the people and the land around us. Provide us with safe winter weather. Provide us with a fresh spring. Lord, we come to you knowing that we are fully human, we ask that you bless us as we struggle throughout our daily lives. Bless anyone dealing with mental health issues. Bless those dealing with abusive situations. Bless those who are struggling with addictions. And bless the family and friends of all those people. Lord, we pray for the Guthrie family this morning, that their mother may be found safe and unharmed. We ask that you give them strength and moments of peace in their time of worry and concern. We ask you also to bless the state of Minnesota. Let it know peace. Let those of us living here lead with humanity as we go forward. And Lord, please be with us as we pray for our nation. Help our politicians talk across the aisles. Help us to follow the good leadings and help us to know when to resist if needed. We pray for your peace on this nation. And Lord, we offer you profound thanks for this place, St. Paul's and Plato. Lord, please fill this church with your goodness and bless all of the people who enter in here. Especially, Lord, we want to give thanks for Brenda and her service in this church to all of us. And Lord, we ask that you bless us during this moment of silence as we share with you what is deep within us on our hearts and our minds. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the chance to start again every moment of every day. And we thank you especially for the teachings of your Son, Jesus, who taught us how to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our offerings are at the back of the church for you to deposit as you leave or as you enter, and we thank you for your gifts. Please join in singing the doxology, number 815. And please stay standing as you join me in the offertory prayer found in your bulletin. Thank you, God, for showing us a better way to live than we are able to devise for ourselves. For the ministry that thank you for Jesus Christ, for the ministry that extended your love to the least and the lost, for the powerful presence that offered wholeness to those who were sick or brokenhearted, for the prayers that demonstrated how we, too, can be in communion with you. In gratitude, we dedicate this offering. Amen. Our final hymn today is going to be hymn number 625, Son of My Soul. Thank you. Once again, thank you for letting me share some time with you these past couple of months. I hope that joys and blessings abound on St. Paul's of Plato in the months to come, and I hope that it is truly a joyful reunion with Pastor Brian returning next week. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you, and may the Lord's face turn to you and give you peace. May you go with your humanity shining for all to see. Amen.